When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, and welcome to And Just Like What? A Sex in the City Rewind podcast,
where Sex in the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we are your co-hosts.
Co-host with the mo-host. We were just talking about like the videos we get and ads we get targeted for on social media. Mm-hmm. So right now for me, it's like what factory workers in Korea eat for lunch.
Great. Probably so much better than what we eat for lunch.
And like, oh my gosh, their meals are, that's probably why I get them. And then also right. Military homecomings. I get a lot of those.
What am I getting targeted? You know, I'm getting targeted seeds and gardening stuff because I am interested. Like they must see that I'm walking around a yard kind of aimlessly wondering what I'll plant this year. I really don't know what I'm doing in that realm.
You see you with kind of like melancholy walking around your garden like an English lord in a Bronte novel
behind my back. That's basically what I'm up to right now, and it knows it.
It knows it. The world knows it. What are you drinking? Is that a vodka cranberry?
No, you know what this is? It is.
Let me guess.
Because we're out of wine.
Let me guess.
Sure.
Pomegranate juice?
Mm-mm. Alcoholic. Because I thought you might have been having a cocktail since it's later.
Oh, is it just Martini Rosso on ice, like vermouth on
close,
ice.
Close. It's Campari on ice.
Ah!
Isn't that just lovely?
It really is
so good. So I am enjoying, I'm imbibing.
I'm having some tea.
I think it really speaks to where we are right now in life, isn't it? Either straight up from the bottle Campari or some tea.
Yeah, fortified. Usually something that you mix with something else, but we're just drinking it straight.
Straight up. Actually ran out of wine. We're going to go on a wine run later and buy a whole case of Costco wine.
Is that why you're like, look, I have to record right
now? It's exactly why I need to record earlier.
I've been super into my latest snack right now. Speaking of Costco, is my sister-in-law was like, do you want this bag of pecans? We don't really eat them. And I was like, yes.
A whole bag of pecans?
Yes, yeah. So she gave me a bag of pecans. It's like a kilogram. And so I've just been eating. I've been having like a bowl. Like I'll roast them and I'll have like pecans for breakfast.
Can I just give you a little tip? Because I roast pecans all the time. And
it's a hobby.
It's a passion of mine.
It's an art form. Mm-hmm.
It really is. Butter. Roasted in butter.
Ooh, yeah.
And so good.
It's actually with sea salt?
A little bit of sea salt. I do a little bit of smoked paprika.
Yum, yum, yum. I'm like.
And butter. You're full beat poetry snapping at me right now.
Spoken words.
You're like.
So that and pumpkin seeds, like roasted pumpkin seeds. My oldest son had hockey this morning, and so I brought a bag of roasted pumpkin seeds with me because I'm on a cleanse. I admitted it. And all of my nieces and nephews stole my roasted pumpkin seeds. They're like,
really? They loved it so much?
Tastes like chips. Tastes like popcorn. And I was like, yeah, that's my snack.
That's healthy, kids. That's healthy eating.
Yeah.
Are you on the Wild Rose cleanse?
We have talked about this before. So Wild Rose.
Because it almost killed me.
It's so you actually can't get the kit right now. Listeners, if you're into Wild Rose, if you can find one, let me know because they're not produced. They stopped producing it because there's an ingredient, I think, in the Billy, in the one where that makes you poop, that they've had to go, they have to swap it out for something that's similar. So they're going back through like the approval process.
Oh, I see. Okay. The just rarity of the ingredient or something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully. And I think that Terry Willard, who owns Wild Rose, is just quite a stickler, which is great. So he wants to go back through like all of the health regulations approval processes. But I want it.
You want your wild rose? Are you doing the Beyonce cleanse?
No, God, no. I'm doing like this 30-day one that's so mild. I'm like, I want to be cramping with the need to have poo.
Yeah, just to eliminate exactly. Everything. Yep. Do you do a smooth move? This is getting very weird, but do you do a smooth move once in a while?
Love a smooth
move. Say.
I brought smooth move with me to Palm Springs to just like dole out to the ladies. And one of our friends who was there, she was like, Jesus Christ, herbal shit works.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yeah. Speaking of friends, yes. What about friends?
Well, I was going to do a segue into the show, but you wanted to ask me about my week.
Oh, how was your week?
My week was really good. It was a very work-heavy week.
Yeah, me too.
But it was nice because I felt I've been in this job where I'm like, I'm a boss now, and it's taking me a long time to wear it.
How dare they do that to you?
How dare they?
Make you a boss that you already were.
Do they not know I have imposter syndrome?
Why are they putting you in that position?
Exactly. How dare they give me that responsibility? But to be like, honestly, it's been, I know I always show up to do my job. I'm a deep internalizer.
Oh, you're so good at it.
Well, thank you. But internally, it's like, it's a challenge. It's been challenging. And so the kind of this first week, I've been like, do you know what? I'm going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. Good.
What about you?
Well, no, same thing. I have imposter syndrome too. And I often talk about this with I think everyone does. And I constantly feeling like, what am I doing here? But you know, who really has some imposter syndrome in this episode is Carrie at the Learning Annex. When she goes on stage and her whole teaching lesson is based on a few openers.
That's it.
It's my worst nightmare coming true in real
time. You realize that all she's prepared is her outfit.
Her outfit and the full concept. Have you read the André Léon Talé autobiography?
About Anna Wintour?
No, it's about him. It's his own.
No, I haven't.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's Fashion in the Trenches or something like that. Ooh, and
he's since died, right? He's no longer
with. He has since died. This man was a mess. I think he was a lovable, huge mess. Mm. And he was commissioned to write a biography on Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh,
and
wow.
It almost killed him. And he didn't do it. He couldn't do it. I think he thought he could just sit down and write it without researching. Do you know what I'm saying?
What?
Like he thought, you have to listen to this. I listened to him narrate this.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, I'd listen to it.
Biography, and it was so good. Well, anyway, let's get into it.
There is an illusion of her somehow preparing. Can I just share one thing now that we're doing book recommendations that nobody cares, but maybe someone will care. Okay, so maybe you listen to this because you also have a similar life trajectory as our best friend, Carrie. Mm-hmm. But so I'm obsessed. There's this new, maybe it's new to me, but we're starting to get more access to South American horror writers.
Well, was it this Mexican horror novel?
Is that there's this novel by this writer. Her name's Mariana Enriquez, and it's called Our Share of Night.
Oh,
And I loved it so much. She's Argentinian, so it's. Anyways, I'm just reading her book of short stories called The Dangers of Smoking in Bed, but it's translated obviously. But it is so. There's something about
scary or what?
It's very unsettling. But the thing that I love about it is that I love horror, and I realize my whole life I've been reading horror through the lens of like a white Anglo man, like Stephen King.
Sure, Dean absolutely. Coots, what right? scares still love, the white man? Yes,
still love those books. But then reading it through the lens of like an Argentinian woman who grew up like during the dictatorship.
Oh my. Goodness.
It's just and also there's this style of writing that they have that it's so clean and spare, but then like it's so evocative. Anyways,
is it kind of like this like magical realism type of writing?
It has some Isabella Allende elements to it, but her writing is more, it's sharp, it's like and weird.
Oh, I love
so
it.
So weird.
Please.
So I recommend it.
Okay, great. I love
this. Okay, bye.
I am still deep into my Dateline phase and still really deep. I was laying in bed last week and I got a notice on my watch and I went to the window and I peered through. I have louvered blinds and I peered through and there was a young man going, yes, up my walkway.
What time opened up night?
Daytime.
Oh.
Very daytime. And
I was lying in bed at my 2 o'clock nap.
I was napping. Yes, I am. I am a married gay man with no children and a very comfortable bed.
And I was imagining you at 2 a.m. Okay, so it's very much daytime. No,
2 p.m.
Okay.
And I see this young man with, like, he's not, you know what I mean? He's not quite a ragamuffin, but, you know, like, my mind starts going places. It could be anyone.
Yeah.
And he opens up my mailbox and then leaves the, and then goes to the next person, opens up every mailbox and looks in. And I almost called 911. Right on the spot.
He didn't leave anything in there?
Yes, he did. I went and looked. He was leaving. He was a little landscaper. He was starting a landscaping business. And you called the cops on him.
That was an important piece of info that he was putting something in your
Yes. Mailbox. And I couldn't see that quite. Like.
Oh my God.
So it's a full hilarious. Paranoia over here, you know?
You know, maybe you need a Dateline break, y'all, because that is.
I need a Dateline break. That's why I'm saying the fiction, like getting into an audiobook might be really good for me, even if it's disturbing.
Oh, it's so good. I love this book. I can't recommend it enough. I even convinced Stafford to read it, and he's the slowest reader ever. It took him 6 months, and he was like, wow, I'm so glad.
It's worth it, though. That's a commitment for him.
That's commitment. Okay, so we watched.
Tell us.
So this episode aired October 1st, 2000. Crazy. Mm-hmm.
I have a lot to say about this.
You
episode.
Do? Okay.
No, so I don't have much to say about the episode, but a lot to say about the timing.
So this was season 3, episode 16. Does that sound right?
It is right. It seems like it should be later in the season. Like there, I think there are only 19 episodes in this season. So we're almost at the end.
We're almost at the end. I'm not going to bury the lead. I love this episode.
Oh, I love the episode. I have zero clue what the theme is.
Frenemies.
How? That's the title.
That's the theme. So I give the synopsis and then I want to tell you why I love it. And then I want to tell you where it's ranked.
Okay.
Miranda thinks she's been stood up until she finds out her date died of a heart attack. She agrees to go to the wake, where she meets a great guy who used to date Carrie, who warns Miranda he has a nasty side. When Charlotte tells her friends Trey is now sexually uninterested in her, but still can't perform, or is now sexually interested in her, but still can't perform, Samantha convinces her it's a classical Madonna horror complex, which I guess is
never
a thing.
Never heard of in my life.
I know, I was like, what's that? A meeting with Charlotte's sorority sisters has a frustrated Charlotte determined to transcend her prudish outlook. Mm-hmm. Samantha finds her sex equal in a woman named Claire Ann.
Oh, Claire Ann!
Behavior shocks even Samantha. Carrie agrees to teach a class on dating at the local learning annex, only to realize she doesn't know as much as she thinks.
Okay, this is a good synopsis. That's something I can take to the bank here.
So where do you think it's ranked?
I think it's relatively lowly ranked because yet again, we don't have Berger, we don't have Aiden, we don't have Mr. Big. We just have episodic dating, which is perfectly fine. And not much plot development. Not a very strong cohesive theme, as I've alluded to, like personally alluded to earlier, even though you are advocating that frenemies is the theme. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, again, like it's truly middling. I think it's about 65.
Oh my God. It's 64th.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's the closest you've ever been in your life. So it
says it's not bad, but it's not great.
Okay. It says memorable mainly for Carrie's disastrous attempt to teach a how to find love class at the Learning Annex. Yes. Okay. So this is my argument for it. I think it should be ranked higher because I think that the writers and the director and the producer, they finally realize the gold mine that they have in Carrie and Miranda's chemistry because we start to see their romance, their connection, their intimacy as friends. It begins to solidify because in a few episodes later, we have their big fight. So I think they're starting and then Charlotte and Sam seem a little more periphery, which they kind of always do because Because they're Miranda
always
and Carrie,
on the edge.
Mm-hmm. They're best friends. And then I think we really, it really, really starts to gel. We see them, the foursome, but then it starts to become clear. It's like, okay, Charlotte and Miranda have a friendship Carrie and Miranda have a friendship that's next level. They have this chemistry. And I think it also made me think of it because I read SJP was talking about how she and Miranda would always eat all the food on set and then always ask it to be reset. And so it got to the point where like the set dressers would be like, what do you guys want to eat today? Because they would just together, they would always eat. And so there's just something about their level of commitment to this friendship. And I just love seeing it.
I agree. You are really starting to see the friendships gel in this episode. And the way that Miranda defends Carrie later on is quite amazing because it twists that usual scenario of them defending the boyfriend.
Yeah. And I like how she says, she's like, I just feel weird about, I don't want to date someone that you don't like, that you don't feel okay with. Like that's the deal breaker for her, that her best friend doesn't like this guy. So she doesn't want to do it.
Well, then it comes back though to her when Carrie goes rogue and dates whoever she wants and Miranda doesn't approve.
Exactly.
That's when the big tension comes in. It's when you start living your life in that way that you're cognizant of your friend and then they don't reciprocate it. It's not repaid in the exact same way because Carrie will never be able to repay in the exact same way.
You're right. There's a level of care that Miranda offers to Carrie that Carrie will never be able to offer back. Yeah. She's almost incapable of it.
I think so because I think she's as lovable. She is as, you know, wacky and wild and Carrie. She is a narcissist.
Oh God, she's a selfish bitch.
She's like a lowercase n narcissist.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that type of person is very, very, very attractive to be around. I have to say, because when you're in it.
It's so fun because
the narcissist, they can cast a wide net and you start feeling special and the way that they feel about themselves.
You're right. I haven't seen this person in a really long time, but I was just like, I just need a break because there's also a level of exhaustion, mm-hmm. but it got it's to the exhausting. Point where I was like, there's really the only purpose for me to be here with you, which is fun. You know, it's fun and interesting, but there's no, my only purpose is to reflect back to you.
To reflect back and for you to feel like you're, have a best friend and that you're doing a great job at being a friend.
Yeah.
Not you, but the friend, right? The narcissistic friend.
Yeah.
They need to have someone like you in their life.
And it's not even really about when I was with this person about the friendship. It was just about how fabulous they are. So they wanted to always talk about their projects and like.
I will definitely find out who that is in about 35 minutes.
So this opens with, should we talk through each peeps or what do you want to do?
Meredith, lead us through. Lead us through this episode. You're the advocate for this episode. And I'm going to just put in a zinger here and there.
Because people want to hear you talk.
People want to hear you talk, not me.
Debatable. So Miranda is getting ready for a date and she's wearing a really weird outfit.
It's kind of like layers of organza or something.
I know. And she got it at Barney's. I'm like, you shouldn't have bought that alone because it was not a good choice.
You spend too much. You spend your money in the wrong places, Miranda. Yes.
So it's basically a montage of Miranda's getting ready for a date, realizing she's getting stood up.
Samantha. Trey.
Trey gets, Schooner gets his sails up, but he's bringing it into the harbor.
He can't quite. I don't know any boating terminology, so it's hard for me to remember what, but he just can't insert that penis.
I think it's inserted, but it just like goes blip.
Oh, I don't. Oh, really? It just slivers out like a. It's almost like a dissolving agent on his dick.
It's a garden slug with salt on it. And then Samantha's
getting fucked so hard.
Yeah, and her bed has wheels? That was a bad choice.
Like, what? Like, IKEA didn't do that for more than two seasons.
Like, on what level is she like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's put some wheels on this bed.
Yeah, like, I want to get no motion sick and ever. Have rip-roaring sex.
Exactly.
Boy, was it revealing, though. I'm like, can I see Sebastian's dick?
Poor Sebastian always sees his back and his ass, and that's it.
And
he's just a glorified extra.
Yes. Carrie's getting ready. She's spending her nights in because she's getting ready for this learning annex. Like, she has spent 7 nights in a row or something in my mind.
Yeah, but all preparing she's doing for this. Is preparing her outfit. So, and she's getting $300 a class, which I was like.
And let's do the, I wonder what the inflation on that would be.
So basically she's teaching 2 classes, so she gets $600 for 7 nights of work. Like, what?
That's well, she's not smart with money.
It's just terrible. Yeah, what is the inflation on that? What would be the equivalent? Probably the same. It's the same. She'd
do better at a long game at, like, going to a nice store and trying to get the 50% discount on good clothes.
I mean, well, so, okay, think of it this way. So we have a lot of friends who teach in universities. They get $6,000 a course. But that's like...
Doesn't seem like much either.
No, at all. So think about how many courses you'd have to teach to, like...
What? That sounds terrible. And the students are so terrible.
Yeah.
As evidenced through the learning annex as well. Okay, but Miranda, her date is 3 hours late. And I have to say, I'm really loving her apartment. It's 90s chic. It is the height of year 2000 chic, like a sophisticated New York City... Good design choices, very fancy.
She's doing well. Her apartment looks beautiful. She's doing
very well.
And so she decides, she realizes she's been stood up. And so because Miranda is a...
impulsive firecracker.
Yeah, but this is like... So she decides to call her date and his mom answers. And
she doesn't pick up on that cue.
No, she doesn't realize, oh, it's odd that a grown man's mother would be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she attempts to ream out the mom until the mom's like, we'll die today.
And then she makes reparations by saying she'll come. She feels bad, obviously. She's saying she'll come to the wake.
Yeah. And then they're at breakfast the next day. And Samantha's wearing this, like, banging leather vest.
Yes. Samantha's, like, really sexy and cool.
It's like
all beiges, right? It's like kind of nude
beige
tones.
With, like lace cutouts, kind of.
Love. Very good. And isn't Carrie wearing kind of like a rocker t-shirt?
Carrie's outfits she looks fantastic in
next
this episode.
Level in this episode. Very, very good.
Is this the episode where, I didn't even note this down. Is this where Charlotte and Samantha fight?
Yes.
Oh, oops. I didn't really care about that. You explain.
Well, they're chatting at brunch.
Wait.
And Charlotte, like Charlotte says, you know, we almost, and Samantha goes, fucked. Then I almost masturbated. And then, Charlotte kind of is like, does everything have to revolve around sex with you? Like, you're and she almost said slut. She almost called Samantha a slut.
Yeah, because Samantha says, what am I, Charlotte?
And Samantha just moments before had graciously invited everyone to Samba.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to go to Samba?
So my youngest son does Latin dance because he goes to a Latin school. And
I learn something new about this child every day of my life.
And he is a very expressive dancer. Like, he has very loose hips. But one of the little boys said, you dance like a girl.
In Samba?
That's what Gally said. He was like, most of the kids just step back and forth. And he's like, you have to put your hips into it.
Wow.
It just upset me because I was like, what?
You dance like a girl.
It's 2024, but he does go to a Spanish language school. So there is some machismo, I guess. There's some kids who are from.
Sure, but they'll go nowhere in the Samba world. They'll be mocked by their own people.
I just don't want Gally to put his expressive hips under a bushel.
I have to say, so there's a point where Samantha starts uninviting everyone. She's like, you're uninvited
I know.
To Samba. You're uninvited to Samba. You're uninvited. I'm like, if I was uninvited to Samba, it would be the best day of my life.
I know. She uninvites everybody and then reinvites everybody. It's so funny. So I think this does happen, I think, after Carrie's class. So Carrie teaches her class and she basically has prepared nothing.
No, Carrie goes right after this. It's at the class. And so Carrie, but also at that at that breakfast, Samantha says you need to look like a sexual, you need to be a sexual being and you need to be sexually desirable for your husband. It's a very weird concept, in my opinion. Like, don't marry her then. You have to twist it from being like a Madonna to being a whore for him.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but I don't love it, but
but then we do
to learn mixed results.
In subsequent episodes, though, we do learn that Trey's family has like a very weird idea about what it means to be a McDougal wife.
A McDougal wife can find her pleasure anywhere.
Exactly.
And like liberating. Stay in it.
Potentially liberating. Exactly.
Take tennis. Have the most beautifully pruned rose bush in the neighborhood.
You prune those bushes.
Okay, no, now we're at the annex, right? So this is a nightmare. This is a living nightmare to me to walk out on stage with no script.
With I know, not preparing. I just don't understand what Carrie...
Not
what
preparing,
is she,
yeah. Not knowing your lines.
So she looks fantastic, though. She's wearing like a sleeveless jumpsuit.
I think she was going to think it was a... just literally a conversation or Q&A, but they wanted, like, these people paid a lot of money, I guess.
Yeah, it's billed as a class, and they're like, where do we meet men? And then they're like, have you ever been married? And she was like, no.
Her only thing that she prepared was like, look around, go outside. Men are outside your front door. In New York City, there are 2 million men, and you just have to meet them.
And I've dated about everywhere. A million of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they revolt on her. They turn in a big way. And one woman says, hey, guys, be nicer. She's an elderly woman. We should be
she's
respecting
older than
what
us.
She says.
Yeah. But it is very disappointing. I would have been mad, too. She looks fire.
She looks fire. But then she goes home. This is what I'm concerned about regarding the theme. She goes home and she's writing her column. She says, you're supposed to get wiser as you get older. This throws her. And what makes anyone an expert? Are we getting wiser or just older? What does this have to do with frenemy? Like, honestly, there's a disconnect in my mind. So I don't know what it's about.
You're right. That totally makes sense. It is weird. I wasn't really... I watched this while I was like watching videos about what Korean factory workers eat for lunch.
Right? Like, it's more important.
So Miranda, meanwhile, goes to Jim's wake with Carrie and she meets one of Carrie's ex-boyfriends.
What's his name? Nick?
Oh, his name's Jim. Sorry. She goes to Will's wake and
she meets Jim. Yeah. Jim charms the panties off of Miranda.
He's cute. I like this guy.
Only a mere 8 years ago, he was in a band called like... My Uncle Ted's ass.
Oh, he's from Nurse Jackie.
Okay, I definitely do recognize him. 8 years ago doesn't seem like a long time.
No, it does not seem like that long.
To have been such a slob. Anyway, they're flirting. They're really hitting it off. But Carrie goes, you know, just so you know, Will and I are frenemies. That's when, you know, we don't get along. And she's never really dissed anyone like that. She's never really... said she's never warned and she doesn't care enough about anyone else's life to actually give a warning.
Yeah. And she was like, he was an asshole. We dated and he was an asshole. But Miranda's not sold. She likes him. She's vulnerable. Her date just died. Like, I like how there's no empathy for the guy who's died.
I know, nothing at all. And it's like the best, almost like the best place to meet men.
Exactly.
That age. Like, it's kind of true.
Is it? At a funeral?
Well, when you think if you die at 34, you're going to have all your 34-year-old friends come.
Oh, it's depressing.
And if they don't have, they're definitely going to bring their significant others. So if they're alone there or just with other men, they're probably single. Get down there! It's a smorgasbord and the food looked really good.
Yeah. So Miranda decides to date him. Let's talk about two looks, though. Okay, Carrie's wearing a blue wrap dress.
Oh, I like that.
With her enamel with red heart necklace.
Yes, that blue and red combination. She really rocks quite often.
Yep.
And then loving it.
Yeah, and then later, she goes shopping with Charlotte to look for, like, sexy clothes. And she's wearing a blue tube top and this, like, red vintage skirt with, like, a lion on it.
Or a tiger. Good.
She looks fantastic.
She looks fantastic. Eventually, Samantha is out shopping. And she's in some store and she wants a scarf more than anyone ever wanted a scarf in their whole life. And she starts a tug of war with Claire Ann.
And Claire Ann is basically Samantha souped up.
Like,
if Samantha was a Hummer. If Samantha was a Hummer.
Yes, it's Samantha with a few more miles, but much more souped up, like with big tires. And they hit it off in a way that no one's ever hit it off in public. Like a stranger? It's stranger danger. Don't do that.
Where you're like, she's Claire Ann, and then Claire tonight on Dateline.
Every husband she's ever had, let me guarantee you.
She's a black widow. She's a full-on black widow.
No one should be that receptive to a stranger instantly, right?
Samantha's a little wary.
Eat around, hey y'all.
I guess
because you got a stiff drink and a stiff dick.
I got huge tires.
I've got huge tires and I want to drive them all over someone.
I want to off-road them onto a dick. And balls, if you know what I mean. So my favorite scene is when Carrie's washing her bras and Miranda calls her to talk about Jim.
I paused the scene. Can I just tell you that I paused the scene to look around her bathroom yet again?
And what
I'm
did
obsessed
you see?
With her bathroom. Pears soap. I've seen... I'll turn out... No, what's... Oh, gosh. It was... flipped backwards, but there was like a brand of, you know, the brand that make of shampoo that makes the caviar Alterna or Alterdema or something like that. That's the shampoo.
Okay.
Kiehl's, mm-hmm. Rare Earth Clay. Like that's her, where she does her masks.
Ooh.
A lot of cotton balls.
Like too many.
And then there's a scene where Charlotte's at her vanity and it's very chic and very classy. And it's all like, Guerlain.
I was going to say Guerlain, yes. Yeah.
It's Guerlain and all the best stuff like Orchidae or whatever they have. And I loved it. So, okay, what did you love about the scene?
I just love how mundane it was.
I know. Talking with a friend, multitasking, talking on the phone in general with a friend. We don't do this anymore.
This is what a real person does. These are expensive bras. She needs to hand wash them. It's Saturday, or maybe it's Saturday at like 3 p.m. and she needs to do some laundry.
Actually,
and her best friend calls and they're just chatting.
In stark contrast to the disgusting underwear that they were seeing out and about at like Frederick's of Hollywood.
Yeah, I know.
Charlotte, her bras were perfect. La Perla, maybe.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Charlotte decides to meet up with her old sorority friends. This is mm-hmm. So she's had this fight with Samantha. Mm-hmm. So she's out with her old sorority friends, and her old sorority friends literally look like monsters. Like they're literally hiding werewolf and vampire faces under their pink skin and pearls.
They are like AI generated nightmares.
Yeah, they're Get Out, like Get Out ladies.
Like it's like all a dreamscape.
Yes.
Their proportions. They don't look like they all could have went to the same school together, even.
Oh, it's weird. Maybe it's supposed to be, but it reads very ominous.
And they're flirting around, like, you know, they're doing their waspy talking and everything, chatting about their husbands.
Yes. Yeah.
And, oh my God, we haven't seen you for so long, Charlotte. And Charlotte, for someone who wouldn't even say anything about her own personal life or sex life in front of her best friends, starts to talk in such a way. I just want to get fucked. Exactly. Don't you just want to...
Like, fucked hard.
I want to get fucked hard.
Needless to say, the vampire ladies don't like it.
They didn't take to it.
And then we cut to Samantha having a similar experience, but it's the opposite.
In such a way. So Claire Ann and Samantha are having a nice little time.
They meet some inappropriately young men.
Extremely young men. One, and instantly they go over to this table with these men, and Samantha says, "I call the blonde." And then, as the dark haired one, I'd be like, "Shit."
She also invites them to Samba.
It's like, does she own Samba?
It's like her only way to get people to be her friend.
Only currency right now.
Yeah. Samba?
And,
anyone?
And What happened? Like, how does this come about? I forget now how.
Well, Claren jokingly is like, I just want to eat you up. I'm going to, oh, yeah. I'm going to eat you up.
Yeah, I'm going to eat you up. Little M, she is the funniest actress. Whoever, we need to do a little deep dive on who this
There's
is.
There's nothing on her on IMDb.
This is
the most
fearless. Like, is this actually Kim Cattrall's mom? Because it looks like her.
It's her mom.
So there's
nothing on IMDb
nothing
about
Nothing on
her.
IMDb. So no. she could have had her own show. She could have been like Murphy Brown. So yeah. She crawls under the table and gives this man the blowjob of his life. And it's too much for Samantha. She realizes that, okay, yeah, you don't need to be overtly sexual at the table. So they, both Charlotte and Samantha, realize that there's a middle ground, that they could have been listening to each other better.
Yeah, I mean, it's like getting hit over the head with like a giant German sausage.
Well,
it's not subtle.
Do you mean Claren's blowjob?
But I mean, just like how the theme,
the parallels. The metaphor was, yeah. Is like, we don't think the average HBO viewer is going to get any of this. So
yeah, let's make it very clear. And yeah. Then as Samantha leaves, she tells Claren to forget Samba.
What kind of food does Samba even have? Is it a dance club?
I don't know.
What is Samba?
It's like a jugo juice.
Okay, now Carrie, this is it. Carrie, Jim, and Miranda are out on a date. For some reason, Carrie's on this date with them?
So Miranda just wanted Carrie to have a drink with him because she's like, he's changed. He's changed.
And she's kind of like representing him, like, oh. Yeah. Like, they don't even know each other, and she's full immersed. You know how, like, fast Miranda can get brainwashed? And she's she's just in it to win it. She will do anything it takes at all times to be fully committed.
Yeah.
She's cynical, but so devoted, like, so earnest.
Yeah. It's sweet.
It's sweet.
It's a good combo. Do you know what? This episode made me go back to loving Miranda. And then, because remember how much she broke her heart and then just like, what?
Yeah.
Just like that.
She's just such a garbage person. And in as she ages.
Yeah.
She doesn't age well. Yeah. She's not aging well. But I have to say, I really, really hate when I go out to drinks with a friend and their partner. And they're like, Jim loves the, like, speaking for, representing, doing the royal we, all that bullshit. And I'm like, I hate you right now.
Have you never done that for you and Matt?
Yeah, all the time. I'm very hateable. Like, let me tell you, people do not invite us out.
You're like literally admitting to my hypocrisy. What?
Oh, no, I hate it in other people. You know, like, you hate in other people the thing you hate in yourself the most. I have almost no good social character.
That's not true.
I do it a lot, though. Like, I'm sure I do. Like, I talk for Matt a lot. And I tell a lot of Matt's stories. And sorry about that, everyone, but
they're the best.
You've already cut me out of your life, so this is like speaking to dead air. Who cares, right?
It's a funny scene. So what happens is Jim actually ends up being an asshole. He actually wants Carrie there so he can be a dick to her. And he just ends up calling everybody an asshole.
I love what Miranda, when she's like, maybe that's because you're an asshole. Exactly. It's so good. I love it. I'm like, you are the best, and you can really command the screen.
And then I love when Carrie and Miranda are walking on the street. It's just such a sweet scene where she's like, I didn't want to say I told you so. It's so sweet.
It's sweet.
Funny.
It's sweet and funny, but I would be running. I wouldn't be walking lackadaisically. I'd be running away from this man. He's on the edge. He's dateline. You're right.
It's a bit Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It totally is.
It's disturbing, right? Like,
yeah, it is.
And it was calculated. He manipulated all these situations to get Carrie in a room with him because he had a lot more to say to her. That's terrifying.
You're right.
To me.
You're right.
It is sweet that they're out in the city. You know why I was obsessed with this timing? I think these few episodes, like Frenemies, Sex in Another City, like the ones that are after the important Big and Aiden kerfluffle, is when I started watching the show in real time, like back in the year 2000.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think so. It's right when I moved to Toronto to do acting school, and I would have started watching at that time. That's when it is.
Mm, yeah. That's cool.
So we end, though, almost end, with Charlotte.
Charlotte seducing?
She comes out with such a look.
Yep.
Kind of like Brooke Shields in like Pretty Baby.
Oh, wow. That's a deep cut.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one to, you know, envision, but it's true.
Also, I commend Kristen Davis because this would have been a terrifying scene to film.
She's so naked.
She's so naked. She looks beautiful. She probably didn't nicest, think she did.
She has the nicest breasts. And I have to say, as a gay man, she has...
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Ricky.
She has a breast like a Botticelli.
I thought you liked Cynthia Nixon's breasts.
Very good, too. Milky skin, little tits, little nipple.
I feel like you're describing what you'd find in an Easter basket, like Sarah, the different types of chocolate
right, like
bunnies.
The different types of chocolates is all the only way I know to speak about women's breasts. And then... And or candy or gummies like Maynard's. So, and then Sarah Jessica Parker, kind of like a wine gum.
What?
Is what I'm thinking. Because I've seen the outline.
Like the shape?
And she would never do. Like the her nipples are like wine gums.
Okay.
So Carrie goes back to the learning annex. She has seven.
We haven't said what happened. Oh, what? Charlotte convinces Trey to have sex for what? A minute and a half. And then she calls Samantha and tells her. And it's very sweet.
And this is when I didn't care about that plot line. I was looking at her
her nipple.
Her vanity. No, I don't care about her nipples ultimately.
Her vanity.
Yep. Her vanity.
And then Samantha, I mean, this is a big spoiler, but then she invites Charlotte to come back to Samba.
Charlotte's like touched, but I would be in the back of my head. I'm like, I know that this is really kind of her, but no one in New York wants to go to Samba at this point.
I'm going
to
be
been weaponized too much.
It's a passive aggressive restaurant with subpar Latin cuisine, but the men's hips really move.
Yeah.
And then, Carrie goes back to her learning annex class.
And she has seven people, and she decides wisely just to take these ladies out because they don't know how to act in public. It is quite astonishing.
It's like, have you ever seen that movie? Have you ever seen that movie, Earth Girls Are Easy?
I love Earth Girls Are Easy because I'm a huge Julie Brown fan.
That is a fantastic movie. It's with Jeff Goldblum.
Jim Carrey, Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis. It was one of the movies, like, when I was a kid that I watched the most.
I love that movie. I'm a blonde, B-L-O-N-D. If you haven't seen that movie, please.
I'm a blonde, don't you wish you were me.
Yeah, please watch that movie. It is hilarious.
It's like
I'm
that.
Not even going
to
tell you.
They don't know how to act.
Exactly. It's like
they're
she has
dropped.
Jeff Goldblum.
It's like Mork and Mindy. Like,
and which it's one of the Wayans brothers, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the original one.
Marlon?
The dad.
Marlon Wayans?
Yeah, maybe.
Anyways, that's what it's like. It's like a scene from Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah, they're like... She's like, you need to make eye contact right now. It's actually, Carrie was the coolest she's ever and kindest she's ever been to take these women out because Carrie's so actually cynical. She's too cool for school for all of this stuff, right?
It's
And she's
sweet.
Very kind.
I like it.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I like it. And that's it. That's what happened. We
and
watched
that is it.
It.
We watched it. We came, we saw, we conquered. And we are so... running long that I Are feel we? The best thing we can do to you, just the same way that we could disinvite you to Samba, is to say goodbye.
Forget Samba.
Keep following us. Share, comment, review our podcast. Only 5 stars, please. We are still waiting for that one woman to upgrade her 3-star to a 5-star.
But we love chatting with you. Please, like, tell us about your experiences. Tell us if... you think that Samantha, if Samantha was justified in telling Charlotte that she was being a bitch, or is Charlotte right by saying Samantha was a whore?
Thank you, and thank you,
and Meredith. Thank you. But you better forget Samba. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.